Hello and welcome to our next lesson here in Psalm 119. Today we're looking at verses 41 through verse number 48. Remember, David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If we'll make it that way, we'll have a better life. We're looking at Psalm 119, not just going through it for information, but also in a way that we could learn how to pray. The disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Well, we have in verse 41, "Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. And so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Now he mentions God's words, he mentions verse number 43, his judgments, his law in verse 44, his precepts in verse 45, his testimonies in verse 46, his commandments in 47 and 48, and also his statutes. These words all mean something different. Well, let's see if we can figure it out. First of all, verse 41, "Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Now, it is very important what we understand when the Bible talks about salvation, what it's talking about. First of all, we have back in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3, Jude said, "I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." The common salvation was being promoted because certain men crept in unawares, Jude 1 and verse number 4. The Greek word translated common here is koinos, and it has been translated defiled, unclean, and unholy. In Mark chapter 7 and verse number 2, this word is translated defiled. It is translated unclean three times in Romans 14:14, and then in Hebrews 10 and 29, it is translated an unholy thing. So what Jude was saying here is, "I gave all diligence to write unto you of this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that was creeping in amongst the people." I know it's commonly said in our commentators that Jude changed his mind. He wanted to write about the common salvation like that was something good, and then he changed his mind and wrote about the apostasy and said. Now, the reason that so many people say that is because before they study the scriptures, they look at commentaries. Now, do not misunderstand me. Commentaries can be very, very helpful, but they can also lead you astray, which is the case on this verse here. This verse has nothing to do with Jude changing his mind. He is writing about a defiled, unclean, unholy form of salvation that has crept in. I call them Bible creeps. It says here, "Certain men crept in unawares, for they were before of old ordained to this condemnation." They weren't ordained to creep in. They're ordained to the commendation that is about to follow their lives. And sooner or later, every one of us are going to answer for our lives. "Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, these were obviously unsaved men. If you look at it in Jude chapter 1, and there's just one chapter there, you'll see they're ungodly, they crept in unaware, they're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, they're denying the Lord, they are feasting with you, and he said in verse 15, they are among you. But Paul wrote about the same problem. He said in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, he's speaking about Christians infiltrating. Peter talked about them in 2 Peter. False teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed 3 times. These are ungodly Christian people who are bringing in damnable heresies, and this is happening on a very large scale today. They're saying, don't worry about repenting. You can't get a crowd in your church if you tell people to repent. Just tell them they have to believe. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. The Bible's very plain. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so we have this common salvation. Then we have just a physical salvation. Exodus 14, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They were about to be saved from their enemies. In Acts 27 and verse 20, we read when Paul and those that were on that ship were in a miserable storm. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, it's not talking here about being saved to go to heaven. It's talking about a physical salvation. In Psalm 119:41 here, we have the verse that says, let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. He said, I need mercy, I need salvation from his troubles that he was in at that time. In verse 42, he says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. He said, I need salvation from these people who are giving me such a hard time. And he said, so shall I trust in thy word. The salvation, he said, that was for him was promised in the word. And so he's just going to the Lord. He said, I want to cash in this promise today. I need it today. And he said, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Now, you remember this word judgments means that which assists one to discern right and wrong and decide accordingly. So we need to discern what is right and wrong, and then we need to decide. We need to do something about it, decide accordingly. So he said, if I discern, and if I decide, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and forever. It all comes back to whether or not we're going to discern what is right and wrong, and then make a decision accordingly. In verse 45, it says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. He said, if I learn to discern and decide, I will keep thy law, I will walk at liberty. To walk at liberty is a state of being free. So he said, if I discern, if I decide, I'll walk at liberty, and I'll keep thy precepts. The precepts were rules intended to regulate thought and behavior. Well, David, you're doing a great job. But what happened? Well, later on in life, when David was running as the king, one of the problems we have, if we're not very careful, is that we will become like who we run with. And so David, well, what did he do? Well, he started getting a bunch of horses. Kings were forbidden to get horses in Israel at that time. Why? Because horses were like us getting a bunch of ammunition and tanks and big jets and bombs and all kinds of things to fight the enemy. Their horses were to pull their chariots. And God said, no, don't trust in horses. Don't trust in chariots. God said, you trust in me. Well, David started collecting his horses. Well, also the kings, one of the things they did was collect women. If they would marry a bunch of different women from all the different countries, it would help the different countries not to attack them. And so David went against God in that as well. So he said, he gave us all this good information, and then he went astray. What did he end up doing because of his lust for women? Well, he began he took Bathsheba, who belonged to Uriah, and then to keep it covered up, he had Uriah put to death. This is pretty wicked. But, he turned. He lost control. These things happen, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They happened, and they're written for our admonition. When David was a young lad, he was a man after God's own heart. When he became king, he became a man after somebody else's wife, and not just one, several. In verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Now that's back here in Psalm 119, before he became, the Bible says he did run well. Who did hinder you? Somebody hindered him. Maybe it was himself. I will speak of thy testimonies, the terms concerning God's standard of conduct. He said, I'll tell that to the kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Commandments are rules to be strictly observed. He said, I'll delight in them. He said, I love them. I will focus on them. The phrase observe to do is in the Bible 18 times. And finally, he said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Statutes are those things that are written in stone, they're engraved in stone. There's no discussion about it. He said, I'll meditate on those. And he said, I will lift up my hands also to thy commandments, to the rules that are to be strictly observed. Is that our focus today? If it is, you're one of a very few people. If it is, you're one of a very few people who call themselves fundamentalists these days. He said, I will lift up my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandment, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Notice he said here, I will, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, I'll meditate in thy statutes. He said, I will. Most people who call themselves Christians today, if they're honest, they'll say, I will not. Be sure to be with us for our next series as we look at verses 49 to 56.